Good afternoon, good night, good day, wherever you are. This is Unleashed Unapologetically with you, your coach, Nadej, who is your confidence coach, your personal development and executive leadership coach. This evening, we have the beautiful Richelle Delia, who will be talking to us about venturing into finding your best purpose when it comes to real estate education. Because, you know, some of us, we go around it, we think that we know, but we don't really know. So, you know, here we cover the business aspect, the health and wellness aspect, the personal development aspect, and of course, your growth aspect. So, which is communication and relationship. So, Richelle, welcome to Unleashed Unapologetically. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, thank you so much, Nadej. It is my pleasure to be here. Hello, hello, hello.
Awesome. Well, let me quickly introduce you to everybody who's actually waiting to hear who you are. Richelle has her she is a doctor, right? Doctorate. And she's a co-founder of Housing Joint Venture, a real estate education and development firm helping professionals explore income property ownership as a safety net to diversify or create wealth. And we know how wealth is important, especially for us African American, right? We want it, but when we say we want it, there are so many things that we also say. We say all the negative things after we say we want it. So this evening, Richelle is going to talk to us and actually educate us about the importance of building that safety net, believing in having a wealth, a financial wealth for yourself, but a secure lifestyle as well. Because when you have that, you are able to travel the world. You have that foundation that you could create for your family, your children who are growing or who are already grown. There are so many things that you could do. And actually, you could decide to pivot anytime in life and then, you know, still have people working with you and for you. So how do we do that? Is by having Richelle here this evening. Hello, lovely again. Let's talk.
I am so excited. And I could not agree more with everything that you said, Nadej, because, you know, I think that money is just an extension of how we believe in ourselves and the value that we feel that we want put out in the world, as well as what we feel we deserve. And it really is a holistic conversation. It's about showing up with confidence. It's about taking care of ourselves. It's about self-care, right? And just how can we be proactive to live? I know everyone wants to live their quote unquote best life, but what does that best life look like and what does it entail? And instead of just wanting it, what can you do tangibly to put steps in place and assets in place to actually make it happen? So happy for this conversation and can't wait to dive deeper.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. It's like, let's just swim in. So what got you into deciding to go into such deep learning? You know, it's like, you know, because many of us African American, we are told, you know, to become a certain type of professional, right? We, especially depending on where we come from, our families, right, what they are expecting of us. Now, for you to decide that, you know, this is what I'm going to do because this is the area where we really need to build ourselves. What got you to make that decision?
Absolutely. And I love the way you segue there. So, you know, we were talking before the show about how we're both Caribbean. So my family is from Barbados. And, you know, as you mentioned, you were born in St. Martin. And so, like, if your family's anything like mine, there's an approved list of professions, right? They tend to be doctor, lawyer, bank manager, engineer, falls somewhere among those. And so you're right. My PhD is in chemical engineering because that was one of the approved, you know, disciplines to go into. And my dad was a petroleum engineer as well, and a mathematician and a physicist. And, you know, I think he gave me some amazing advice. He said, you know, absolutely get as much education as you can, because education is a way to give you a high salary and gives you a lot of clout in the community. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a way where you can earn stable income, even if you don't have your own business. So I thought that was great.
Yes.
In the same breath, he also said, but do not rely on a third party to be your sole provider. because no matter how educated you are, life still can and does happen. And so what he meant by that was, make sure you have additional streams of income outside of just that day job. Don't rely on someone else to be, you know, don't rely on just, I'll call it, be on just their nipple. And so I grew up with that mindset of, yes, go study. Yes, go achieve. Yes, do it all. Asterisks. Make sure that you are not completely reliant on a third party for all those things. And so I think that was amazing advice. Obviously, I took it. And real estate was just one of those asset classes that, you know, my original intent was to just be, just quote unquote, just be a professional engineer. And so I'm like, what can I do having a primary career and still build my own wealth, additional income stream, having my days, you know, for this corporate ladder, so to speak. And so real estate really fit in with that very well. And to that end, I bought my first rental / live-in property while I was still in graduate school. So age 21, I'm going to grad school. I went to UT Austin and I was like, hey, I'm going to be here for 5.5 years. It makes sense, instead of spending that time in an apartment, to go ahead and buy a little place. And so I did that. That really is what got me started in real estate. You know, and of course the vision and everything grew from there. But that's really the impetus. So I'm just like everybody else. I went to school. I had an incredible amount of homework. Got it, you know, and that's it. So I, yes. So
I'm loving
my Caribbean daddy told me to be an engineer and I said, okay.
I'm loving it. I am loving it. Because like you said, you know, there's that way of building principles when it comes to Caribbean families, right? You know, my parents are from Haiti, so I'm originally from Haiti, but born in a different island. So at the end, there's always the want to, the what you should be. And it's so common, especially for us African American, because there's a fear behind, you know, what you should or should not be, not to be seen a certain way or judge a certain way. And I like the that you use that, you know, we sometimes just have to change that mindset. And I really love that your father was able to remind you that, hey, it's okay. You could learn everything you want to learn. You could be anything you want to be, but don't rely on just that, because there's always going to be something that is yours, that is, you know, for you to touch on, that you provided to yourself. And that's what you did. Because when you gain the confidence to just stand up and do things, what happens is you open up, you know, like a whole new set of doors for yourself, you right?
Oh my goodness. And I, you know, I will tell you, I had incredible parents, you know, and you know, so I'm actually visiting my dad right now. And just to speak to the power of real estate, you know, he unfortunately had a health event a few weeks ago. And so I was able to drop everything and fly across country to be here and help on his recovery.
Right.
That flexibility and autonomy, that's what having your an additional income stream. And I'm not saying, obviously, if it can be your primary, you know, absolutely. But even it being supplementary, it's just so powerful. It's just so powerful. We can all determine the extent that we want to indulge in additional income streams, real estate or otherwise. But having that already in place is absolutely, it's a blessing. It's honestly a blessing.
Yes. And yes, blessings are always good to have. Right? Because what it does, it empowers you to actually push forward and to do more. You know, the things that you never used to do for yourself. And I love the part, because earlier you did bring, you know, that it gives you that confidence to do the things you would never done before.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, so as a professional engineer, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure most of your audience are also ladies of color and men of color. Mm-hmm. And so we understand the corporate, I'll call it the corporate grind, corporate struggle, and that, you know, you're trying to ascend to higher and higher levels. And as you ascend, you tend to be either one or one of few in that room. Mm-hmm. And so there are these additional stressors, right? That you have to overcome. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it.
Well, it is that, right?
It is that. It is absolutely that. And so it's not that you can't, you know, show up in your career, but I can tell you, it allows you to show up that much more authentically in the boardroom. It makes you show up that much more authentically when you say, hey, this is not, you know, I can speak the truth about this is the decision that we should make from a corporate perspective or not, and have less fear of retaliation, right? And I think that's something that a lot of professionals of color definitely struggle with, right? Mm-hmm. And so whenever you can say, hey, not in a quote, I don't need this job type of way, because you always want to be respectful, but knowing in the back of your head that, you know what, even if this is not well received,
yes,
I'm not 100% reliant on you. And yes, that level of confidence, you can't buy that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that is priceless. So yes, you can quote unquote buy it in the form of investments, you know, which mm-hmm. is what we're talking about here with real estate. But that ability to say, it doesn't matter what happens, because I am essentially self-sufficient, or can be, and on my way to mm-hmm. being so, that is priceless. And that confidence, it allows you to command your career in ways that you honestly would not be able to do otherwise.
I love it, love it, love it. Thank you. So let's dive into the real estate. So building wealth, having a security blanket, you know, that many would say, in the real estate era or arena, I should say, I rather say. How do you, or how would you get people to understand how important it is, especially in a time like this time that people are either pivoting, you know, or coming from a rough time from 2020 mm-hmm. COVID time, to now saying to themselves, well, how should I do that? How am I going to be able to do that when we're still unsure of where things are going?
Exactly. I think the pandemic really caused a lot of people to prioritize their own personal wealth building journey in a way that they right. had not, they weren't forced to before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I think that is just so, it's timely. Basically, mm-hmm. the question really is, how important is it that you are able to earn income separate from your own personal efforts?
Right.
You know, repeatedly. The beautiful part about real estate and other, you know, I like to say, I like to invest for the long tail. So that means when I do something one time, it has residual benefits over mm-hmm. and over again. And that trail is long, or it has a long tail mm-hmm. on it. And mm-hmm. so real estate is an excellent way of thinking about how can I invest my time, my effort, my energy, my money, and have it have a long tail. So I do something one time, one day, mm-hmm. 1 month, whatever. And now that accumulates over time. And so mm-hmm. that's why real estate and quote unquote passive income is so important. And, you know, I think passive income gets a kind of a misnomer. Everyone loves the idea of it.
Passive income, lately, that's all we hear.
You know, passive income is just a tax designation. Like, let's be clear, okay? That's just a tax designation. That doesn't mean that it doesn't require any effort or energy on your part. Mm-hmm. It's just about how it's classified. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. but what it does mean is that I don't have to physically go and do in order to earn or receive money. And mm-hmm. so that's really what it's about. It's about decoupling that relationship between personal effort and mm-hmm. income. And the more you can do that, the more you're going to win, you know, on your wealth building and finance journey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So ladies and gents, I'm hoping that you're ready to take some notes, so you have your pen and paper so you yes. can hear and take notes from Michelle, because these yep. are great informations that we are gaining this evening, especially mm-hmm. you knowing that, you know, when we are building, you know, our wealth, when we are building ourselves around, let me say it differently, when we are building ourselves around wealth, you know, there are certain things that, you know, I'm pretty sure, because it had happened to me as well, we all get scared of. And that's why, you know, building confidence is important, because you are now looking into the way out of what may or may not work well.
Right.
You know,
right,
right. So this evening, Rochelle, tell us why people have to look into what may or may not work well for them, just so they can actually believe that it is possible. It is not just, you know, an idea, but it's something that they can mm-hmm. actually put into.
Yeah, no, this is not a pipe dream. This is absolutely something that, you know, quote unquote, almost anyone can do. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there are some financial foundational steps that are mm-hmm. of utmost importance, because real estate is, as I like to call it, the top of the financial pyramid. So, you know, if you don't have an emergency fund, real estate's probably not for you right now. If you don't have life insurance, probably not for you right now, right? You know, so if you're really trying to get those foundational things in place, I personally don't believe that it is an integrity to be a housing provider, which is what it means to quote be in real estate. Right. I don't think it's fair or an integrity to be a housing provider and you're not on stable foundation yourself. You're putting not only your livelihood at risk, but also the livelihood, literally the place where they live. So of the persons that you are either housing, if you're a buy and hold landlord like myself, or even as a flipper, all those things. So I'm not one of those, you know, quit your job at the chicken shack and go into real estate. No.
Be realistic, people. That's what Richelle is saying.
Yes, I'm not here to sell dreams. I'm not here to sell dreams. I'm sorry. I'm not here to do that. But you know, if you are already financially stable, and you know, I think the persons that real estate makes the most sense for are those that earn a healthy salary. Because tax benefits of real estate are, you know, to be honest, they're probably numbers 1 through 3 of the reasons why you should invest in real estate, because of the tax advantages and the ability to build net worth. And, you know, again, in communities of color, we don't necessarily talk about net worth as much as we do income. So when you look through Forbes and they say that Jeff Bezos or this other person is worth X number of dollars, they're talking about their net worth, not their annual income. And so there's a difference between how much money you earn on a monthly or annual basis and how much you are worth. And so I think a lot of times we, again, as persons of color, we tend to focus on how much I'm earning per month. And that's important. You know, I'm not trying to downplay that because, hey, we all got to buy shoes, right? But, you know, it's about what am I ultimately building? And the conversation about real estate is not about, you know, oh, I can rent a house for this amount of money versus I can own a house for this amount of money. It's that over time that I'm building equity. The property itself is inherently becoming more and more valuable. And it's a favorite asset class, which means that the IRS and many tax bureaus globally favor real estate as an asset class, meaning that it is treated as if it is a depreciable asset. Here's what I mean. When you buy a new car and you drive it off the lot, you know how they say, you know, you don't buy a new car
because
you drive it off the lot, the value.
Right.
So from a tax perspective, the IRS treats real estate in the same way. They say, hey, this building, because you just bought it this day, I don't care when it was built. It doesn't matter that it was built in 1910. You just bought it today. Right now it's 2021. So you bought it today. So right now, from today, you have 27 and a half years before this property, quote unquote, depreciates fully. So they're basically saying that every building has a usable life of 27 and a half years. That's false. We know that buildings last way longer than that. But from a tax perspective, you get to deduct 1/27th and a half of the value of the property from your annual from your adjusted gross income every year. So what that means is I get to reduce the amount of money I have to pay taxes on. And the more of those properties I have, the more that contributes to reducing my taxable income. Again, it's real estate has a multiplicity. So it's not just getting rich one way. It's getting rich one really, really slowly. But you're earning money separate from your personal effort. It is tax advantaged and it compounds over time. Those, ladies and gentlemen, those are like three wonders of the world. And that is what makes real estate so unique and so powerful. And so if you can really picture, how can I earn separate from my own personal effort? And then by design, it compounds and accelerates my wealth building. That's how you get on the financial fast track. And that's how you end up winning.
I love that. Ooh.
Nadeja is snapping. She's snapping.
That's me dancing right now. And I'm really loving it. Because,
so if you're, you know I tell people, you know, if you're like, you know, I'm quote unquote, I did everything right. You know, like you and I are talking about, you know, I studied hard. I'm an attorney, an engineer, whatever. But the corporate grind just isn't as glamorous as I thought it was going to be. This 401k really is not moving the needle for me. Like I thought it was, you know, I gain a little, I lose a little, but I don't feel like I'm making any marked financial progress day after day or month over month or year over year. So if you're feeling that kind of like, this is how Richelle phrases it. And I quote, I'm so smart. How come I'm not rich yet? If you've ever had that thought, real estate's for you.
Awesomeness. But as I'm listening to you, you know what I kind of thought of, you know, is that we are surrounded by professionals who are feeling that, you know, in their mind, they are comfortable.
Yes.
You know, and because they are comfortable, why? There's that big why. Why should they do, you know, should they change their mindset, or should they try to do real estate? And there's always the big why. And not that they don't know the reasons, but it's just that they're still hiding behind the blanket of, well, I have insurance. I have life insurance. I have a good coverage. My job is really good. I've been there for 15, 20 years, you know, and never really looked further into what if this job decides to close the door on those 15 years, what happens then?
Right. You know, and it's kind of like motivation. You can't necessarily give somebody motivation. You can show mm-hmm. them, you mm-hmm. know, but if you are satisfied, you know, with being on the corporate grind, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like I totally want to validate that perspective. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But for me, and I think people that real estate is attractive to, you know, as an asset class, there's this kind of nagging feeling in the back of your head that, is there more for me? Could I be doing more with my assets and my money? You know, one of my favorite quotes is that good is the enemy of great. Right. So it's not that you can't be great. It's that we settle for lesser goals. That's what keeps us from achieving greatness. It's not that we can't do it, that we're not motivated. It's that we settle for lesser goals and for lesser good things. So being comfortable is wonderful. There are so many people that would love and pray to be comfortable. And so I don't want to invalidate that as, you know, that is a worthy goal and ideal. But if you want more than comfort, you know, and you know, the middle class is getting squeezed more and more, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
Being in the middle really is not, there's no future in the middle. That's the truth. You know, either, I mean, I don't, you know, this isn't something I'm making up. Everyone already knows that the top 1% owns 50% of all the income, and my stats may be incorrect, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. The sentiment is that, you know, the top earners, they control most of the cash flow, most of the wealth, most of the things that most of us desire. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to decide, who is it that you want to be and where is it that you want to play? Do you want to be a part of the masses, or do you want to be part of the elite? In my opinion, being elite and being a productive member of society, that's where we should all strive to be.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I since we're going down this path, you know, I think money and having money is almost bastardized or demonized in communities of color.
And yes.
It's almost as if we have to or want to apologize for being successful. And it's something that we should shy away from and be embarrassed by. And everyone wants to start a nonprofit, you know, or something like that. The Latin root of the word for profit means for progress. And so if you're for progress, then you are for profit. That is the most sustainable thing you can do, is to have a profitable business, enterprise, whatever, because that's how you create jobs. That's how you create ecosystems.
Yes.
That's how you change economies. And so, you know, it's just about the scale and what level you want to participate on. I'm not saying everybody has to become, you know, like this huge baron, but, you know, if you want more than just what a 401k can provide, then it's definitely out there for you. And I think real estate is an excellent vehicle to consider.
Love that. And there's nothing wrong actually with if somebody wants to be part of the 1%, you know, I want to be part of the 1%, and I'm pushing myself to be part of the 1%, because at the end of the day, when we talk about being comfortable, being, you know, having that comfort blanket, it's not the 401k, it's being able to have a foundation, like we said at the beginning, where your family's able to travel, your kids' school can be paid, you know, you could go anywhere you want in the world, you have employees working with you and for you. Hello. And, you know, I always like to say with you and for you, because there's a big difference. When they work with you, you are building teams, you know, and you're getting them to be at their best, so they can continue, and they too can learn how to prosper as well in their own, you know, on their own and in their business. So it is imperative to me that we push ourselves to be in the 1% and we stop looking at it, you know, at what we do in a everyday
silo or in a vacuum, you know. Right. This is not about the haves and have nots. This is about the haves and have mores, right? And so it's all about the change in mindset.
Exactly.
Money is not evil. Earning is not evil, right? Making money is fun. It feels good.
But it's what society has also been telling us that is totally wrong, because we were always told, well, do you believe you can make money, or money wasn't made and grown on trees? And there's so many saying that are done around money that brought scarcities into people, especially in the lives of Black people.
But the thing, yes, absolutely, 100%. At the same time, we all love what money can do. I love going on a shopping spree. It's phenomenal, right? I love going to the spa. I love being able to treat people that I love. Like, those things feel good. When you're able to give someone that you care about a special gift, you feel good, right? When you're able to bless someone, you feel good.
Yes,
you feel great.
Yes.
And so it's about that energy. And where does that energy come from? When I don't have enough money, I don't feel good, okay? I'm actually pretty grumpy. You know? Like, when I want, I don't like window shopping. That sucks. Mm. Okay? No. Window shopping sucks. That is not fun. Like, I don't want to go. I'm staying at home. Okay? And so, it's like, just be honest. Like, we all enjoy what money can do. Money's just a tool. It doesn't have any emotion attached to it. It's just a tool, right? And, you know, as we're talking, I love that this conversation is hitting so much on communities of color, because it's the way that communities of color win is by creating our own economies. There's this book that I absolutely love, and my husband introduced me to it. It's called Powernomics by a gentleman called Claude Anderson. I'm not sure if you've read it before. It is phenomenal. And it really talks about how you can build your own ecosystem for communities that you care about by first having strong enterprise. Then you control the media. Then you can control the education system. Then you control politicians, so forth and so on. And that's how you get your agendas advanced and really improve quality of life. And I think that a lot of times, again, we try to focus on these nonprofits and, you know, all these other areas without starting at the root. And the root is having that strong, again, financial foundation. And from a business standpoint, that's making sure that you're doing something that is profitable and sustainable over time. So it is, this is all intertwined, you know, and it's all about having the confidence, you know, everything that you talk about, having the confidence and the holistic approach and holistic wellness, that is what we need, you know, as individuals and as community. And I didn't mention this before, but, you know, there are ways that you can make money that you feel good about. You know, one of the things that we've really explored and have really built our business on the investment side, is we invest in communities of color. They tend to be communities of color, but they're definitely in that urban core in the Midwest. And essentially, what we do is we do a buy, renovate to rent model. And so what that allows us to do is to restore vibrancy in these neighborhoods, restore community, but not necessarily supporting gentrification. Because it's kind of a chicken or the egg problem. Is there an underinvestment because property values are low? Or are property values low because there's systemic underinvestment? And if you can be that first mover and say, hey, I believe in this community and I believe where this place is, and I'm going to put my money here and I'm going to be that first mover, then other people will follow, so forth and so on. And so that has certainly been very good for us.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. And I'm really loving that, because it's not, you know, what I'm hearing is that it's not only the aspect of, you know, hey, real estate to make money, but it's also building community, you know, because there are, you know, there are places where you locate your home or your business that really help the community to prosper, because now it pushes people to want to do more, to want to go to school, to want to have their kids, you know, even going into real estate themselves, because there's the agent is right there in the center, you know, there's so much that they can learn from.
There's so much that you can do, you know, and I, it's really impact investing, you know, which is another buzzword in the money and finance field. But it's impact investing really where it hits home. And, you know, my personal opinion is that being a landlord is the original social entrepreneur, right? That's like a big buzzword these days. But, you know, I kind of touched on this earlier. If you cannot just provide for your own family, but someone else's, if you say, I'm going to put my livelihood on the line to provide housing for someone else, I can't think of anything more selfless than that. And I think the media really tries to demonize mm-hmm. landlords and slumlords. Don't get me wrong, everyone that is a property owner is not, you know, of the best intention. So, you know, I'm not trying to have rose-colored lenses on right now, but I do, I don't think that the media is deserved in the way that mm-hmm. they portray housing providers, because it's mm-hmm. it's a service just like anything else, you know, mm-hmm. and I think you should treat mm-hmm. your residents with respect, and they will treat the property with respect in return.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Oh. We're having a moment. We're having a total moment.
Yes. I'm loving this. And I'm hoping that, ladies and gents, you are taking notes. You are really educating yourself, because it is needed. It is needed for you, you know, in your growth. It is needed for you in the future. Because remember, mm-hmm. right now we are about the present, but you're also right. preparing, you know, steps forward to the future, because, yeah. you know, you what when you're no longer there, excuse me to say it, but yeah, it does happen, that's life, there will be, you know, others who will pick up for you and continue with that. So that's why you need to educate yourself around the realm of learning to develop you in a personal standpoint, but also in that professional aspect of, you know, even when you are working for your corporate companies that you're working for, you could still create that other way for yourself, because that other way may be the way at a certain point in your life. So think it through. And wow, Richelle is telling you all those great things that you need to know into establishing yourself. So if I were you, I would definitely take those notes and then, you know, go deeper into the learning to know, okay, if it's something that you intend to do, what are your intentions around that? So mm-hmm. now let's talk a bit about, you know, the mindset point and the intention point of people yeah. when they go into, you know, the real estate. The intention must be, what would you advise people to do or to have as intention when they're diving in?
Yeah, absolutely. And just one more point on the previous section, you know, yes, absolutely. Thinking about the future and estate mm-hmm. planning and generational wealth and longevity. But I also want to mention, you know, right now we're in a very critical time. At the time of mm-hmm. recording, you know, we're in early June 2021. We are in the end, maybe middle, not really sure where we stand on the pandemic spectrum.
right.
But one thing that we do know is that obviously the government gave out these incentives, these checks to the masses, and there's supply and demand. So wherever mm-hmm. there is more of something, it becomes less valuable. So mm-hmm. let's say, quote unquote, money fell from the sky. So therefore, every dollar is less valuable. So mm-hmm. something to consider is, you know, as inflation happens, typically some employers may give you an inflation adjustment. Most may not. But yeah. their goods and services, they will, the prices of them will adjust with inflation. So if your income is not positioned to adjust with inflation, then you might not be in such a good place, you know, when things happen as this situation progresses. So just something mm-hmm. else to consider, you know, you mm-hmm. don't necessarily want to be Venezuela. it just would not mm-hmm. be the thing. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. going back to the conversation of mindset, you know, one of my biggest, I'll call it regrets, is not thinking large enough. When I first started, you know, again, I'm an engineer, and us engineers, our favorite saying is, and I quote, I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm, and when I started, my goal was, hey, you know, I'm going to be a professional engineer. And by the time I retire, how about I have 10 single family houses as rentals? Each one of them should rent for maybe $1,000 per month. So I'd have $10,000 per month coming in addition to whatever, you know, I've saved at my job in retirement. I think that'll be excellent for retirement. That is my goal. And that is still a very worthy goal. It's an amazing goal. Here's the rub. I ended up hitting that number about a year and a half, 2 years after finishing school. Mm-hmm. So how do you, now what? First of all, and then secondly, you know, as you realize, one of the things that we realize is like, wow, again, this is where people's lives happen. And if you can be an instrumental portion of where people can feel good and feel quality and dare I say, have respect and dignity about mm-hmm. their housing and their housing situation. Wow. It's so much more than just numbers on a balance sheet. You know, like this is really, it's so much more than that, so much bigger than that. And that's where Housing Joint Venture was born. And really that transition occurred. But in terms of mindset, it's really about how big can it go? Like, what do you ultimately want? My husband called me just before this. He's like, what do you actually want out of life? Like, what do you want? You know, and we don't always like to have those conversations because they're hard, you know? Really saying, no, seriously, what kind of life do you want? Where do you want to play? What role do you want to have in society and in life? And, you know, what do you want your life to look like? And really holding yourself accountable to that. And what can I do on a day-to-day basis to actually make that happen? And again, those are hard conversations, right? And we don't really want to do that. We want to talk about the fun stuff. Really not, no one cares more about your money, your future, or your finances than you. And so if you push it under the rug, then it won't be a priority to anyone else either.
Ooh. Nail it. Because it is true. It is true. At some point in life, we have to be able to just simply say, you know what? I'm going to have to close my eyes and just focus on a, you know, me in a way, because that's where you had to go into the learning. And that's when, you know, it's necessary because you're learning all these things that you didn't know before. You know, there are certain, you know, terminologies that you're learning into building yourself, building a business, you know, having all these priorities put in forward. Whereas in the past, you probably would have just hang out all the time, spending times with friends, you know, trying to be, you know, the center of it all and all the attentions, but not really looking into what if that time comes in. And like you said, life does happen. And life does not wait for us to say, wait, life, let me just finish what I'm
Hold on for a minute. Just stop
the clock. Exactly. It does not wait. It simply comes in, it hits you. And then when it comes to that awakening, you go, oh my God. Oh no, that was never my purpose. You know, what is my purpose? And I love that you say, ask questions to yourself. What do you want in life? You know, where do you see yourself? And I really embrace that you have that, you know, probing questions that you encouraging people to ask themselves just so they can start looking into what exactly is my purpose on earth? Right. What do I need? How can I secure having a financial freedom in the terminology that they use nowadays? It may not be, you may not call it financial freedom. You may simply call it, you know, to have a beautiful lifestyle, to just enjoy living life to the fullest, whatever signature you call it, you know, but just believe that you have to shift the mindset towards that.
Right. It's a whole different perspective when you work because you want to versus you have to. So I'm all about making work optional. You know what I mean? So you're not there because you have to be there and you need the money. You're there because you actually enjoy the work, and that might be the easiest way to go ahead and do it. It's a choice. Exactly.
Oh my goodness. I think we would do this all night having this conversation, right, Rachel?
Yes, I agree. And just one last point really quickly. You know, I think, you know, as you mentioned, it's so easy to just kind of quote, hang out with friends and, you know, do things that feel easy. One of the things that is, I call it a life hack for me, is to proactively select my network and who it is that I spend my time with. And so don't be afraid to, you know, level up your friendships, level up your working relationships. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you need to join an elite club, country club or otherwise, you know, just trying to throw out ideas here, but anything that you need to do in order to improve that inner circle, by all means.
I love it. Yes, there's the 1% club there, you know, they are all clubs that you can join. And, you know, it's about that personal development. And, you know, I talk about it a lot in here is because, you know, I needed it in myself for myself as well to just so I could know what exactly I want, where do I need to be and how am I fitting? And, you know, am I still putting a facade to show myself or, you know, like others used to think of me, or am I being, you know? And it's, I think it's best when we are being instead of just you know, putting that facade or doing. So we have to start changing the way we see things and do things in order for us to actually be present so we could learn better and develop ourselves. And that's what, you know, this evening is all about. It's about understanding how important it is when you focus your mindset into making that change. Because remember, we have a choice. Like Richelle said, that choice is for us to know that even when we have that blanket, that secured blanket that is given to us in our jobs, we also need to think ahead. Like, you know, don't think one step, but you may think two or three steps forward, because when you do that, it helps you start preparing for yourself. And, you know, you are an engineer, you would know that, you know, the first thing we need to do is set up the area, right, where you want to purpose your home, and then start thinking about the foundation, the layout of the poles, how everything is going to be, just so when you start building, you don't build on hay so it doesn't fall when it rains, but you actually build on bricks, just so right. You have foundations that are sturdy and helping others to grow as well. So Richelle, what are two tips you want to leave our community here with, just so they can really understand what you're talking about before we go further into asking you where they can join you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would say, obviously, definitely hitting on to everything that Nadesh just said, which is figuring out what it is that you want. And don't be afraid to be concrete about it. You know, I talk to a lot of people and I ask them very bluntly, how much money do you want to make? And they're like shocked. And, you know, obviously you can't see me here, but I kind of jump back in my seat because they're like, oh, you know, I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be okay. Mm-hmm. That's vague, right? And that's a sellout answer, mm-hmm. right? The true answer is, yeah, pick a number. And mm-hmm. for most people, that number is $5,000 or $10,000. That's the truth. That's what mm-hmm. most people need and want. But just be authentic and say, this is the number that I want. And once you have some concrete answers about what that number is, then you can actually start moving the needle, because now you can put some pen to paper and actually do some math to say, okay, if I'm actually going to go for $5,000 per month or $10,000 per month, or I want my net worth, my, you know, how much I'm worth, quote unquote, like Forbes magazine, to be $1 million, $2 million, now I have a starting point where I can mm-hmm. now work backwards. And that's just a simple math problem from there. So mm-hmm. that will be suggestion number one. Suggestion number two, don't be afraid to invest in yourself, in books, mm-hmm. in courses, seminars, all of the things. Just how you go to college and you invest in learning a profession, yourself is continually self-improvement. Yes. You know, even as an engineer and real estate person, I invest in my public speaking. I invest in my wardrobe. I think you've heard a couple times that I kind of like shopping just a little bit. I'm a girl's girl. Yes. I am 100% a girl's girl. But, you know, like all of those things. So there's nothing wrong with investing in your personal network and mm-hmm. investing in confidence and in speaking skills and anything. You know, it's like purchasing braces or getting LASIK yes. eye surgery. These are all investing in yourself so that you can show up in the most authentic and the best version of yourself. And I think the education is exactly aligned with that. Yes. And I think particularly in communities of color, we kind of shy away because we think, oh my goodness, this person's trying to get me. They're trying to help you, right? And it's about a value for value exchange. And mm-hmm. so when you change your mindset, as opposed to thinking, oh, they must be out to get me. No, like, oh my goodness, this person is sharing everything they know and it's only, you know, X number of, they're willing to accept money for it and they had to trade time. Yeah. Time is more valuable than money. They're willing to exchange all the knowledge they have mm-hmm. for this amount of money. That's a bargain. That is mm-hmm. a cheat code. That is a cheat code. When you're willing to invest in yourself and say, I am my best investment, that's when you will start to win.
Awesome. Ooh, nailed it. You kept nailing it, you know?
It's the truth, it's the truth.
You love know, it, I, love it, love it, girl.
It's the
love
truth, it. It's the truth, it's the truth.
Thank you so much, Richelle. Well, I'm pretty sure, ladies and gents, you had wonderful insight this evening. And I'm pretty sure you're probably saying, okay, Nadesh, now enough already. Where can we find Richelle? So Richelle, where can they find you?
Yes, of course, of course. If you want to reach out, you can find me on LinkedIn. That is my social media platform where I am, let's say, the most prolific. But if you're interested in learning more about real real estate and real estate investing, you can also go to theinvestingbootcamp.com. Again, that's theinvestingbootcamp.com. And that'll send you to our website and tell you all of the things about real estate and, you know, how we can work together if that's of interest to you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, ladies and gents, it was Unleashed Unapologetically with Richelle this evening. And oh my God, I think we may need her to come back. So we're going to try to think it through just so she can come back and give us much more, you know, into what we need as we are growing and developing in our best selves, because that's what we are doing. As we're building confidence, we need to build the confidence in those pillars. That's why I talked about those four pillars, right? The wealth, the health, the relationship, and of course, your personal development, because you need all that in yourself to be the best version of you that you are trying to be. So on that, I want to say again, thank you, Richelle. It was wonderful having you this evening. And ladies, have a good night, good afternoon, good day, wherever you are. Bye, everyone.